Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
First and 10 at the Carolina 17. Snap to Rush, looking left, looking, standing. Now rolling outside the right, scramble drill. Throws it in the end zone. The ball is caught by Jalen Brooks for a touchdown.
Brad Sham with the call right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Good morning, Metroplex and the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Bobby Bell for the entire week. Choppy is out for his Christmas vacay. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back, and we are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. What time did you land back from Carolina?
Dude, this is the best trip we've taken on that front. It was 7:40, something like that. So, I mean, I was home before, like, a little before 8:30. Got home, watched an episode of Landman, jumped on with Joe Trahan last night on WFAA, and then got to bed. So it was actually a quick trip. So,
despite a crappy city that you insulted on Friday.
Look, I didn't go out in the city, but aesthetically, at least it was nice. Like, I was surprised by visually. I thought it was going to look much more boring than it was. It actually was kind of a nice downtown, but I get what Nick Eatman was talking about in terms of just the weird logistics with some of those people in the stadium. And Nick said he saw that security guard, that same one that we were referencing on Friday. And he said he just had to kind of make eyes at him and then run.
30-14, the Dallas Cowboys drub the Carolina Panthers. Cooper Rush with three touchdowns. Mike McCarthy passes Bill Parcells on the all-time wins list. I believe the TV call said the Cowboys are now 4-0 in short rest games. So, go figure. On the road versus at home, and short rest versus normal rest. And Mike Zimmer's defense again creating havoc. This felt like the Cowboys of the last two Dan Quinn years. You get a lead, you get out in front, you release the hounds, Smithers, and all hell breaks loose for the other team's offense in terms of sacks and turnover. Six Cowboys sacks, four takeaways, and they beat down the Panthers.
Yeah, and it was something where early on the pressure, I didn't think like they were getting, you know, maybe the first quarter and a half or so, I didn't feel like they were getting enough pressure on Bryce Young, that he was able on that first drive to kind of stand back there and wait, and then it just cranked up. And, I mean, look, they were fortunate on some of this. That first drive when Leofau kind of punches the ball out as just a, all right, let's try this as he's going down. And some of that good fortune of the ball bouncing off and Kendricks being there to grab it. They were getting the bounces yesterday, and that was a big thing for them. But the defense has clearly just kind of settled into their rhythm a little bit and figured out what it is that they are.
And what are they?
They are, I think, just a high effort, much more disciplined defense than they were in the first half of the year in terms of they don't over pursue a lot. I think Mike Zimmer needed to figure out, okay, what do you guys do well? What can I actually have you do? And so some of the stuff where it's like, okay, I can't necessarily have Eric Kendricks in this position anymore because Eric is not a guy who can get to that spot anymore. But, oh, I can have Leafau here or Overshown here. You know, there were different things he mixed up yesterday with. There was a snap where Parsons was playing the three technique defensive tackle, which we've seen more of. But then they had Oso Odighizuwa, not just a defensive end, but like wide defensive end, like a speed rusher at 300 pounds. And so they do some different things in terms of disguising personnel. So I think a lot of their MO at this point is just pre-snap disguise, you know, really leaning into quick read and react and solid tackling. They're not having trouble wrapping up like they were earlier in the year.
Carolina 0-8 when trailing by 10 points at any point in a game this year. Babe Laufenberg tweeted that out. They were down 10-0. And a 10-7 game turned into an absolute beatdown in the second half. And you know the Cowboys are going to rely on CeeDee Lamb offensively. But then when things opened up in this game, you got Tolbert, you got Cooks, you got Brooks, you got a touch for Turpin. And then things opened up defensively. Osa, Micah actually came in what felt like cleanup time for his two sacks. Jordan Lewis ended up getting a sack. So the others, as Shaquille O'Neal loves to call them, they started getting involved.
Yeah, it's a game where when you watch, now look, it's Carolina, but I picked Carolina. I anticipated they were going to give Dallas more problems than they did. And so they stepped up and
we're turning film over to Peyton this week for the Buccaneers.
I know you were sitting there as that first drive was going and you went, you did not, they're running a 15 play drive, just methodically moving down the field before they punched the ball out near the goal line. That would looked bad. That first drive, I was like, they're going to score 50 points today, the Panthers. This will be the most embarrassing loss of all time. But what it ends up being is Dallas giving up, what was the yardage? 235. That's the third fewest that they've given up this year. And so the defense playing stingy, taking advantage of things. I thought the biggest thing was they got pressure on him, obviously, but that's what we had talked about at the end of last week that Bryce Young had so improved at, was playing with pressure in his face. Yesterday, he did not. And I think it's because he had no idea where the pressure was going to be coming from. That was a great job by Zimmer scheming that up.
And because of you, I lost money on Chuba Hubbard, so screw good. You. My buddy Jake, who was at Ravens practice, accepting his little... I'm glad he didn't win Coach of the Year. I'm glad he was just nominated back in Maryland. He's like, Zay Flowers, they're going to light up Zay. I'm talking 150, two touchdowns. So that jerk cost me money. Bobby cost me money because they shut down Chuba Hubbard. It looked like Chuba was going to get loose early in this game. I was like, I should have just gone 100 yards for Rico and Chuba with a little running back parlay. Hubbard ended up with 10 for 32 and 3.2 on the ground. He had four catches for 17 yards, almost matching his rush total. Locked him down.
I thought, and it was one where you're right. Early on, I saw it, and I was like, okay, he's running pretty efficiently, and he's doing what he does, which is he's the big no meat on the bone guy, to reference back to Joseph Randall. That's one of the things that he does. I thought it was interesting how quickly they felt like, Dallas has struggled with run defense all year. Thought it was interesting how quickly they felt like our way to win this game is to lean on Bryce Young in the passing attack. I don't know if it's just because they felt like there was some vulnerability with Dallas being down a corner with Trayvon Diggs being out, and that they felt like Deron Bland's still coming back, and they felt comfortable in their ability to block up the pass rush, which is, like I said, early in the first quarter, I thought they were. I thought it was actually pretty frustrating watching Dallas try to do anything in terms of generating a pass rush. So it could be that they just thought, hey, we're going to be able to have success with this and lean on it. But I thought they moved away from Hubbard pretty quick in this game, faster than I would have expected.
Mike McCarthy on the W afterwards.
You know, we've always been a resilient bunch. And today, you know, that's a great example of it. Because, you know, frankly, you know, the way the first half went, you know, we felt like we were really in charge. You know, I think we were plus six big play, you know, category at that time. And, you know, that was really the only two plays they made in the first half. With, you know, the fumble recovery was self-inflicted, and they had, you know, they hit the big play on the broken coverage. But, yeah, I mean, they were good at halftime. You know, we got to play better moving forward. You know, obviously we got Tampa Bay coming in next. Too many penalties. We got to take care of the football. But the takeaways, outstanding. You know, I thought the defense really set the tone for us in the first half. You know, and Terp is magnificent, and with special teams, you know, the field position battle. I didn't see the field position battle, but I assume we were ahead there. But, you know, plus three, turnover ratio, those are the basics that we want to play to. I think we had 20 more total plays than they did. You know, that's the way we want to play. We want to play, you know, balance on offense, get our trips to the plate in the run game, and, you know, be smart in the passing game.
I love what CeeDee Lamb said afterwards. He heard about Vegas. He heard about the odds makers listing the Panthers as a favorite for the first time in 2 years, and he said, it was brought up. You're not oblivious to what is being said about your team. Shout out to whoever thought the Panthers were going to win, Bobby, but they got this one wrong. So that is the antennas up towards Vegas and the point spread.
Boy, they are they're feeling themselves for a team that's been pretty awful all year.
So are some fans. I got a tweet this morning. It's a really good tweet. It's, you know, the question moving forward of the offseason from Kyle Stahl. He said, I hate that I'm asking this. Is it possible we're overreacting to this season of McCarthy? They have a ton of injuries, new DC. Young guys didn't step up as quickly as needed. Maybe he's back next year with Zimmer and a new offensive coordinator. And I spent a lot of my drive thinking about this coming in today. You got to decide at what point you put the emergency brake on the season to make up your mind, right? Like for me in past relationships, there's moments of where it took the turn where I made up my mind in the moment, no matter if I hang out with this chick for another month, another 2 months, another 3 months, this is the moment where I decided I'm done with this. It's not happening. I knew in this moment that scarred me. I'm never going to be able to get over it. Are you keeping your mind open as a Dallas Cowboys fan? And I think it's very, very important to keep reminding who this 3 of 4 is taking place against. Are you keeping your mind open during Washington, the Giants, Cincinnati, Carolina? Or are you like me and you made up your mind after the Saints, the Ravens, the Lions, the 49ers? Really, Saints, Ravens, Lions, I was done with it. You got your full team. You got the stacked deck. You may have had Cooper Rush. When did Dak go out?
Atlanta. So his first game back, Cooper Rush's was Philly. Was that what it was?
So he played the Lions game. I made up my mind then, this team ain't it. Tola responded this morning and said, I made up my mind after the Packer game. And here's the other thing I keep having to want to remind Cowboy fans and some media who are drinking a little bit of Kool-Aid. Best case scenario, this team is what? Best case scenario, the Dallas Cowboys are a 12-win regular season team and a second-round playoff team. Y'all, they didn't change the playoff format to 3 rounds. You don't make the NFC Championship game after your first-round playoff win. This team isn't really that close to the conference title game. They for damn sure are even farther away, obviously, from the Super Bowl. So you got to make up your own mind of when you're putting the emergency brake on. I did it when they were getting their ass kicked early this year with their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first look at the fact that, okay, they've got
like
six
you beat
wins.
The Commanders are a fringe possible playoff team. The Giants are horrific. The Bengals are not good. Here's the other thing we do around here. Cowboy fans always act like the end of games where something crazy happens, you were just going to win that game anyway. It happened with the debacle against San Francisco. You weren't going to win that game. You were down the whole game and you were down in that moment. You weren't up and that cost you. You were going to lose anyway. That was just to get another playoff. But somehow, like, the embarrassment of that moment took over. Cincinnati, the game was tied. There's nothing saying that you are going to catch the ball, go down and drive a 70-yard field goal from Aubrey. We saw how that went yesterday, even though I thought he was going to make it. Like, you just weren't, like, written in to win the Bengal game. And then Carolina is horrible. Don't let Bobby and others trick you. Oh, they play Kansas City tight. Oh, my God. The two Bryce Young turning around. They still suck. And we saw that again yesterday. So you got to decide when and who to make up your mind against. Sorry.
Look, I 4 of their 6 victories, like you said, are against Cleveland, Carolina, and New York. Those teams' records outside of the games where Dallas played them are 8-30. They're bad. They're the worst teams in the NFL that you're going against.
Yeah.
The like you mentioned, Washington being a fringe playoff. I'm not going to knock, obviously, road victories against Washington and Pittsburgh. However you got it done. And they dominated Pittsburgh in the stat sheet. And then they won a close game. It was tight, but I'm not going to apologize for that. But the reality is also, Washington is a team that right now looks like they're spiraling, almost losing to a Saints team that everybody's been mocking ever since Dallas got their ass kicked by them. And so it's tough for me to look at this and say, there's a lot you can really build on. I think it's just there's a fortunate break in the schedule. Now, are they playing hard? Yes. In fact, Ultra Cowboy on the YouTube, one of the most common commenters on the YouTube, says Bobby's butt hurt that this team is playing hard for McCarthy. Not really. Here's what's irritating to me right now from the perspective of talking about this team playing hard. That is the bare minimum. If you're playing hard, that's the bare minimum. You are professional. You're getting paid to do your job. You need to do your job. Quitting is a fireable offense for a reason because it is such a low bar. You playing hard is just your job description. That is not extension worthy. That's not some sort of, they're playing hard. They're going to beat Philly in a couple weeks. No, unless Philly decides they're resting people.
Yeah.
Then you might. You probably will not beat, to be honest, I didn't think they'd beat Carolina, but you're probably not going to beat Tampa Bay next week, who just thumped the Chargers, a pretty good Chargers team, by 23 on the road.
Let's go inside this win and this game with Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal. Proud to be the official whiskey of the NFL. If you're new to the show, this is your Cowboys report card. Star Up, Star Down with Sean and Bobby next.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First and 10 at the 19, Young rolling to his left, chased by Parsons, who he overran him. And Young puts his foot in the ground, goes into the ground at the 15, the ball is fumbled, and the Cowboys have it back at around their own 13-yard line.
It is now time for Star Up, Star Down. It's your Cowboys report card on your home of your favorite football team. Sean Sharif alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Back off the plane from Charlotte. Choppy's out this week here on DFW Sports Station after the 30-14 win. Star Up is brought to you by Crown Royal. Proud to be the official whiskey of the NFL.
Before we actually list what they are, I feel like when they've won games this season, I haven't had many star downs. And when they've lost games this season, I haven't had many star ups. This is the first game this year where I felt like I had a pretty decent amount of both that I could use. And okay. So I don't know if you felt the same way, but I felt like there were definitely people in this game who I was not pleased with, and then others who I thought had really good performances.
Let's start off. Look, we know that Overshown was the young new storyline. Maris Leofau's taking that linebacker torch as a young gun. This is on the first drive. Leofau shines again, and welcome back Marshawn Nealon, who had the recovery to end that 12-play drive. RJ Ochoa tweeted out, the Cowboys defense has generated a turnover now in 7 straight games. They have tied the 2020 team for the longest streak in the last 5 years. Leofau had another pressure on third down, had a big tackle for loss on Chuba Hubbard. I think he kind of got away with another, what was a Leofau penalty, which we're talking about going high on players that happened against Cincinnati. But Micah Parsons said to the TV broadcast, Leofau is so far along, Bobby, he could wear the green dot if needed. They could put the green communication dot on his helmet, and he would be good to go. Star Up to the rookie.
Dude, and that's, I believe that because I know.
Wait, is he a rookie?
Yes, he's a rookie.
Yeah, rookie.
I believe it because Leofau is a guy who, one of the things they really loved about him was he kind of had to do everything at Notre Dame. So there were times where Notre Dame would put him as a safety. They'd put him in the slot. They'd have him play linebacker. They'd have him rush. And so he had to understand everybody's assignment, everybody's responsibility, what was going on the field. And I think they, you know, it's a Notre Dame kid. It's somebody who's pretty smart. And so what they found was that was one of the things they leaned into. They thought he played incredibly hard all the time. He plays with intensity. The motor's always running hot. And he's super sharp, super smart, high football IQ. There were just some things that he was going to have to work on in terms of his technique and other things like that where he was still a little raw. But he is one of these guys who I feel like he's progressively improved every single week. In fact, we had this stat on, I think it was Thursday or Friday. But if you look at now as the update, you've got about 12 guys that have played at least 150 snaps in run defense this year for the Cowboys. Three of them have a better, like the Cowboys give up fewer yards per play on the run when they're on the field. It's Osa Odighizuwa. They give up about a third of a yard less when he's on the field. Mozzie Smith, they give up about a third of a yard less when he's on the field. And then it's Maris Leafau, who they give up 1.1 yards per rush fewer when he's on the field. He is a solid run, a really good run defender, someone who's contributing to the team defense. And a lot of credit for a team that was rattled by Overshown being knocked out. The guy who had to actually step in and play for him and has been learning under him has been completely locked in and focused since he had to take the field for him.
Another star up to the man where it doesn't matter who's throwing him the football. He's going to flex on you. He's going to the first down sniff on you, and he's going to have 1,000-yard seasons on you.
Snap is back on third down. Time. Throws it right corner of the end zone. Lamb, back shoulder. Touchdown, Cowboys. Oh, did C.D. Lamb run a nice route? That's the C.D. Lamb possession.
Yes. Well said by Brad Sham. That was his drive.
Yeah, and that was one where when you watch that's exactly what I thought was, obviously it was, you know, the one where he had contributed the most. He had three catches on that drive, I think. I was trying to see how many yards it was. 28. He scored from 14. And then I think his first catch or one of his next catches of the drive, he went for 20. So, I mean, you're talking about a basically 60-yard drive just from CD alone.
Well, the Cowboys on third down on that drive had 62 yards, and a lot of it was Lamb also doing it on third down.
Yeah, and it's, look, I thought yesterday there were a lot of times where Cooper Rush, the stat line looks nice. I thought Cooper Rush was off target.
He had like two or three behind throws.
And even on some of the catches, I felt like
someone tweeted, he's allergic to a front shoulder, leading you on the front shoulder.
He's got such a weak arm. He just doesn't, yeah. He can't get it there. He tries his best to compensate. But I thought that was just, you could tell on that drive. I think it was after the second catch. You could tell on the drive, CD was just kind of like, yep, like keep going. Just keep feeding me because I'm locked in and I'm ready to go. And it's 2 weeks in a row now where they've gotten him going early. It's quieted down in the second half. But, I mean, he was fantastic on that drive and fantastic yesterday.
He had 8 for 105 in the first half on 10 targets. And Lamb was asked afterwards, do you feel like you need to put this team and offense on your back with three left?
I always had that mentality. And obviously, offensively, the guys are looking for me as a spark. So, with that, I'm going to continue to do that. And I look at myself as a spark as well. I feel like I can personally score from anywhere on the field, no matter how deep. So, with that being said, I want to be a threat every time I touch it.
I had a star up for the refs on Xavier Woods with that hit on Lamb, and we got away with one. Got away with a nice one right there. It should not have been a penalty on Carolina, but as the Tolo said, ball don't lie, because right after that, on the next possession, Cooper Rush had his customary weekly fumble. CeeDee Lamb was tied into that play as well.
Yeah, there's a little bit, and I had made that point talking about Woods on Twitter yesterday, and a lot of people were like, that was a clean hit. They were almost getting mad that Xavier Woods got flagged for that, but it was one of those things where he's Draymond Green to refs now, Xavier Woods is. We played the audio from him about a month ago, where after he had gotten hit with an unnecessary roughness penalty, they said, do you know you lead the league in unnecessary roughness penalties since you got in the NFL in 2017? And he goes, yeah, I've got 9. And he knew exactly what his count was. So that was 10 yesterday. He's one of these guys where if it looks close, they're flagging Woods.
I'm going to challenge you with hit a me. Theory. I'm going to challenge you with a hit you high. I would like to hit you high in it legally. My ref theory is, in that moment, they're not knowing who they're throwing it on. It's two bang bang. It's not like a DN, right, who you know is kind of in that spot the entire time. It's a safety or secondary player moving around. So my theory is they didn't know it's Woods.
I think they're aware of the formation at the snap of the ball. And typically, I don't know what they're playing there, but I know Carolina plays a ton of single high, and that's going to be, they're going to know anybody streaking from the back end is going to be Woods.
You think they're thinking about that much, that Carolina's playing single high? I don't.
No, but I'm saying, like, they are aware of what the formation is, because they have to observe if the formation's legal. And so they are aware of it, and I think that Woods is a guy who, that flag came in a little late. It wasn't like immediately thrown. It took a second. So they definitely saw who it was and I think went, all right, here you go.
Star up, star down, brought to you by Crown Royal here on Sean and Bobby.
Yeah, I've got a star up in this one for Jordan Lewis, who continues to be, I made the comparison a few weeks back. He's going to be this generation's Datwin in terms of just the undersized, scrappy third round pick who you look up and you're like, man, he's been here for a decade and he's just been pretty solid the whole time and been a really strong leader and continues to make big plays whenever he's called on. There's no reason, if you look at Jordan Lewis, that he necessarily should have hung around this long. He's not a super fast guy. He's short. He's thinly built. And he's had injury issues, and he still is playing really well as he's gotten older.
Yes. Young in the gun, back on third down. Quick pass, broken up, and intercepted by Kendrick on a deflection at the 50-yard line.
He tipped it for Kendricks to get the pick. I tweeted yesterday, James Conner might be my favorite player in the NFL. That's how I feel about Jordan Lewis for the Cowboys defense. Just gritty, gutty, tough. Always just kind of like making the right plays, the feel-good plays. I'm always like, our star, if you had 11 of these guys, you had 10 of these guys, one of those guys, that's how I feel about Jordan Lewis. You get eight more of these guys or five more of these guys with the personality, the mentality, the approach, and you're gonna win big.
Yeah, and you can make a...
And he had the great Travis Hunter girlfriend tweet that I was too scared to say, which we'll get into later.
Oh, I didn't even see it. You can make the comment, or you can make the argument, I think, that that's... Micah obviously is the best player on the defense. They've had different guys here and there. Jordan Lewis is their leader on defense. And he's somebody who, you remember, he was the one who really early on, I think it was after the Baltimore game, called them out harder than anybody else, where he was just clearly pissed off in the locker talking about, we don't do details well. We've never done details well. And he called them out. And last night he gave them credit to his locker and said, hey, this is something that we've really improved. Our guys deserve a lot of credit because I was critical of this early in the years, that we didn't do these things well, and we're much more detail-oriented on the defensive side of the ball.
There are many Cowboy fans, and I heard Brad Sham in the post game kind of hint towards this. We may be seeing his final three games here, so enjoy it.
With a receiver in motion, back to throw, looking left, late pressure.
Ball's up.
He is sacked at the 32-yard line,
and the Cowboys
got a fumble.
Osa Odighizuwa. I can't remember the last time I've been this excited about a defensive tackle that they developed. This is the first play of the third quarter. First play. So any thought, we know how horrible the Cowboys have been after halftime. Any thought of Carolina going down, getting back in this ballgame, or doing damage, gone. Just like that. Osa recovers, ball in the Carolina 29. That would lead to the Jalen Tolbert touchdown to make it 17-7. And then Osa had a sack. I just played that, you know, because his name was going to go ahead and be in it. But he obviously did more with the sack than the fumble recovery. That's more luck. But Osa Odighizuwa, someone the Cowboy fans are already tearfully preparing for the goodbye.
Yeah, just because it's something where I think Dallas would love to keep him. I think Osa would love to be here. I think Osa likes being a Cowboy. But the reality is, you know, we talked about it last week. And
he's 26.
Yeah, I know. And he is such a gym warrior. He plays with a ton of effort. That's actually been a criticism for a few people over the first couple years of his career, is that he plays so hard and so intense that he tends to, by December, he's worn down.
Yeah.
And that's not happening this year. This year, everything has kind of flipped for him. You talk about since November 10th. He's got 3.5 of his 4 sacks. He has 15 of his 22 quarterback hits. Like, he's playing really, really well. And the other thing we mentioned a second ago, their run defense is worse when he's off the field. You think, okay, big deal. So what's that matter? We're talking about a guy whose job is to get upfield, to rush the passers, the 3 technique, and he's contributing the run defense. He had a couple different run stops yesterday that were big, and that's as a guy whose primary job is not to stop the run. It's to get upfield and get after the quarterback. He was really, really good yesterday, and this is the best he's ever played in the second half of a season. It's not even close.
Let's hear your star up, star downs on the phone lines at 877-881-1053. 6 a.m. Club, we need you like we do every single Cowboys Monday. 877-881-1053. Your star up, star downs on Sean and Bobby next.
First and 10 at the Carolina 17. Snap to Rush, looking left. Looking, standing, now rolling outside the right, scramble drill, throws it in the end zone. The ball is caught by Jalen Brooks for a touchdown.
Play of the day. That was beautiful. Maybe throw of the year for Cooper Rush. Rolling right, the anticipation, and Jalen Brooks' first career touchdown to make it 24-7. That was the call from Brad Sham here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys and home of the 30-14 win over the Carolina Panthers here with Sean and Bobby.
They rocked out with their Gamecocks out. That's what they did yesterday with Rico Dowdle running all over the place. McQuamu got the interception. Brooks with the touchdown. That's all their South Carolina guys.
Brock Hoffman. Nick Harris said, you know, he's a Carolina guy, allowed zero pressures, helped Dallas account for a 410 yards. So homecoming win for the Carolina natives.
By the way, we were talking about Osa last segment. I wanted to verify and look at this for sure. And it's right. So since week 10, Osa Odighizuwa leads the entire NFL in quarterback hits. Nobody has more than him.
What?
Second is Micah. And then third is TJ Watt.
Wow. Micah, obviously, star up as well. Two sacks. He had eight pressures on the day. So Mike Zimmer's defense locking down Bryce Young and the Panthers. Let's hear from the Tolos on the D&M Leasing Hotline, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. One of our top Tolos, except he was too cool to show up in Fort Worth. Pastry Chef Eric here on Sean and Bobby. What's up, brother? Good morning.
What's going on, fellas? I called. I mean, I got kids, bro. I can't be just sliding all the way from Rockwall to Fort Worth on a Saturday before you got to do all the holiday shopping with the new family and things. Anyway.
Oh, wait. No, not anyway. Peyton, do I live near Rockwall? Do I live close to you?
No. Oh, you do.
Do yeah. I have children?
You do.
Were my children out there?
They were.
There you go.
You brought your kids?
Yeah, man, drink and drive with your kids. It's cool. I'm kidding.
You
would have
known that if you were there, Eric.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's up?
Yeah, okay. Start up to that patchwork of an offensive line, bro. Mm-hmm. Let's just plug and play. Who they putting in there? I mean, I don't even know names. I don't know numbers. I mean, my grandma had on the helmet yesterday and was blocking for Rico. So that's definitely my star up for that. And with that being said, fellas, I'm going to get out of here because I have kids I got to feed right now.
Croissants.
Yeah, give them some macaroons, Eric.
You tweeted something about all the unknowns yesterday that kind of blew up.
Yeah, and so this was yesterday. I had just kind of noticed like a lot of the guys contributing right now are undrafted guys, and I'd even asked Brock Hoffman about it. I was like, you know,
well,
is that edge, is that chip on your shoulder mentality that you hold as a guy who's an undrafted free agent, is that just playing out with so many of the guys that you're playing? And he said, yeah, you know, we were in Washington, I think, and Cooper Rush had mentioned in the huddle that there were like six or seven undrafted free agents, like during a timeout. He's like, there are like six or seven undrafted free agents in the huddle right now. And so I was like, oh, I got to go back and look. So on the Tolbert touchdown, they had seven of the 11 players on the field were undrafted free agents. Cooper Rush, Rico Dowdle, Hunter Lipke, Brock Hoffman, TJ Bass, Terrence Steele, and Brevin Spanford.
Wow.
And then after that, like you looked at, it was Tyler Guyton, Tyler Smith, Luke Schoonmaker, Jalen Tolbert. Three of those four draft picks are guys who people have been pretty disappointed with. And it's those undrafted free agents that are playing much more scrappy. I think if you want to talk about who's the biggest reason for them changing their run game being different, I think you have to say it's Brock Hoffman. Brock Hoffman has come in and played so violent and so chippy and with an edge, and it's easily become contagious.
Wow.
I think the fact that he's healthy and Zach Martin wasn't has done wonders for Terrence Steele playing better, is having a healthy guy next to him to work on some of those combo blocks. So I think you can go star up right there for Brock Hoffman over the last month because he's been, and a guy who played guard a couple weeks ago, had to play center yesterday with BB out. He's been really flexible and he definitely has an edge. It was brought up, said Rico needs 120 more yards, or he said he's getting close to 1,000. He's aware of it. And Brock was like, how many does he need? Like 120 is like, all right, we'll get it next week. And so, I mean, he's very confident and plays with a real edge that's been contagious for, I think, everybody.
Tate in Fort Worth, you're up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, guys. Also, Sean, I'm sorry I didn't show up to the brewery. I'm glad you got to see my dad. I'm glad you got to see my dad, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that was
Skaggs
your dad.
Family, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling from the gym, by the way, so I'm glad I'm working out with y'all as well. And my star up, my
is Choppy
star
in there?
Mike Zimmer.
Is Choppy in the gym with you?
No, I wish he was. But my star up is basically to Mike Zimmer. Some of the fans owe him an apology because it really was a work in progress for the deep end of the system. And also, star down because we're not going to be able to see Trey Lance, even though there may be a theory out there that they may want to hold him back because they may want to re-sign him as a backup because they probably don't want to put his tape out there for teams to see. But if y'all have thoughts on that, that'd be cool.
Thanks for the call, man. Thanks for sending your pops out to the gathering.
Yeah, I think even once things are done, Trey Lance isn't going out there. And it's not to hide film, I don't think, from other teams. Like, it's going to create some wild market for him.
No.
I think it's to prevent potentially egg on the face, like we've talked about recently, of just he's not. We saw in training camp, everything we saw in training camp said that is not a good football player. And the fact that they don't play him tells me he's probably not a good football player that's continued. And this is not, people keep talking about, man, he just needs, when McCarthy, other people talk about, man, he just needs experience, he needs time. It's like, guys, this is year four.
Yeah.
He's been in NFL systems for 4 years, and it's so bad that you're like, we can't even expose him to, you know, almost meaningless games. We can't even put him out there for it. Todd Archer, I think, tweeted yesterday. He's like, if you're going to run a zone read and Cooper Rush then has that fumble in the red zone and they end up, he's like, isn't that the exact time where you would have brought in Trey Lance if you're going to do it?
But everyone knows that's the play.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem. Bobby in Weatherford. Bobby, you're up next here on Sean and Bobby.
Yeah, my star down is to me, because the first time I saw Kevontae Turpin that play, I was like, man, this guy is so small. He's not going to last a game. Somebody's going to hit him. He's going to get broken half, career over. So my star up, Turpin.
Well done. I remember having a little Bobby belt. What's up with the Bobby's not liking Kevontae? Remember a couple years ago,
yeah,
having a little Bobby disagreement. And look, Bill Belichick and Michael Lombardi have been saying this and talking about getting North Carolina players. They're like, our job is to look that guy, because we always have this TJ Watt argument. Does that guy fit? Well, no. Belichick says you make them fit. That's what coaching is all about. Get the good player, we'll do something with him. You just acquire the talent. You acquire the good player. And Kevontae Turpin, it's not hard to see. It wasn't hard to see. He's just dynamic with the ball in his hands. Yeah, don't throw go routes. Yeah, don't throw Hail Mary jump balls. Get him all the screens. Get him all the reverses. The man is a deadly, terrifying. He's the Dallas Cowboys version of Tyreek Hill. That's what I said a couple of weeks ago. And he didn't do anything special or crazy yesterday. But every time he touches it, literally now, every time, it feels like there's a shoestring tackle away from him breaking it.
Yeah, and it wasn't a...
That type of stress on the defense, as coaches like to say. That's what you want to acquire.
It wasn't a massive contribution, but he's always a threat in the return game.
Yes.
That changes the way teams want to kick to you and how they want to approach you. That alone is a benefit. And then yesterday, again, even though it wasn't a big, gaudy performance, he did get two carries where he ran the ball hard on both of them, picked up a first down, picked up more than 10 yards on both of them. He is a weapon that you can use in a lot of different ways. And again, that's another undrafted free agent. Your two special team stars this year, undrafted free agents, Brandon Aubrey and Kevontae Turpin. And so they've been able to lean into that, and Turpin's been really, really good this year.
Star up Brandon Aubrey. He missed the 70, but he had four makes. Did you think he was going to make the 70? I did.
No, I'm going star down on the 70-yarder.
Why?
So I don't know if you could see it on TV, but John Machado was talking about it too in the press box. Tyler Smith almost got really hurt on that play. And if you would have lost, if you would have gotten a bad Tyler Smith
on
injury
the return,
for just trying to ego stroke kick a 70-yarder.
Not that ego been stroke, so trying to get a score before the half.
That would have been, nobody would have been happy with that. He would have gotten crushed. And that's why they've said consistently they don't want to kick the 70-yarders anyways. Because, strain, or if there is a return, you could get guys getting hurt who aren't used to being out there in space. And that's what almost happened. So start down to that.
God, you search for any way.
That's a bones thing more than anything, I would guess.
Well, the head coach got to send him out there.
You're right. It is McCarthy's fault. Never mind.
Shut up. Dominique in Fort Worth, you're up next on the Dan and Lisi Hotline. Go ahead, D.
Hey, morning, fellas. Morning, man. Morning. Hey, I just want to know, are we really praising this win, this meaningless win? Like, our star players are dropping like flies. I just found out the other day that Diggs is out for the season.
Yeah.
Like, I am lost in the sauce. I tweeted Shane last night and said, what are we trying to prove, and who are we trying to prove it to? And if I was y'all, that would be my question to Jerry Jones.
Did
y'all, next time y'all talk to him, please ask him that.
Did Shane write you back, though?
Yeah, he did. He said, I can't even look at it right now. But yeah, he did. He responded back to me for the first time.
Okay, very. And is he usually cool on Twitter or no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's all, that's my boy. That's my guy.
Hell yeah.
He's always cool.
Hell yeah. Thank you for listening. We'll tell him you said what's up.
All right.
Thanks,
that's
man.
A bit. Appreciate it, fellas.
Dominique here on The Fan.
I don't want to throw any teammates at the bus. I'm not a big Shane fan.
He's all right.
What I wrote back to him is, it's for the culture.
Oh, it was you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he meant Sean, I'm guessing. Because he's like, what are we trying to prove? And I was like, oh, it's for the culture. The team wins are for the culture, man. That's what it's for. No, I'm not praising this win. But I'm learning to adapt. And I'm learning to try to control the controllables. And it's just like anything, Mike McCarthy. What am I going to do, freak out and get mad? They're not going to have a top three pick, top five pick. Once that went out the window, I was like, okay, fine. They're picking 14th right now. So they lost the spot from last week. They're at number 14, according to Tankathon.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about it later today or later this week. But the idea of...
Team Tank, by the way, y'all, just so you know. Sorry, Bobby. Team Tank... It's about something bigger than the draft pick right now. There's two parts to Team Tank. There's the draft pick, and there's the culture shock, the culture change that needs to happen. That's
What's your point?
That exactly. That's more so what Team Tank is about to me personally. We don't have enough time right now to, you know. IYK.
I feel like a lot of the credit has gone towards, when people talk about effort and things like that, has gone to a lot of people on the defensive side of the ball. So it is interesting to me, just this dynamic of McCarthy's getting credit for guys on the defensive side of the ball still playing hard for him instead of, like, it's not been mentioned at all that are they playing hard for Zimmer.
Tyler in Point, Texas. Tyler, you're next up here on Sean and Bobby.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks.
Awesome.
Hey, star up to CD Lamb. The guy's out there playing his ass off hurt.
Yep.
You can see almost after every play that he's getting up, that shoulder is killing him. But hey, I got a question. So we got the Bucks, the Commanders, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Can we hurt their playoff chances if we beat them?
Well, you definitely hurt Washington. I mean, Philadelphia now, there's the big question nationally is going to be, are they the best team in the NFC after what they did to Pittsburgh and after the Lions lost to Buffalo? But, yeah, the Commanders and the Bucks.
Yeah, Bucks definitely. They're in a tight race right now, so you could hurt their chances. Washington... It's close. Yeah, I mean, they're 9-5.
Fringe.
Yeah, they're 9-5. So, I mean, and Seattle's right behind them at 8-6. But, yeah, I mean, the margins are pretty thin.
But don't worry about that. Just go 0-3. Don't worry about hurting their playoff chances.
I think I got to look it up to be sure. I think if Washington wins next week, then I think Dallas might be eliminated.
If Washington wins?
If Washington wins next week. Because, I mean, that's three teams that have 10 wins, and Dallas can't get to 10 wins.
All right, let's check out what else happened around the NFC East and around the NFL. And do we have a new giveaway this week, Pepe? We got a giveaway, right?
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men that you heard RJ singing in the promo over the weekend. Around the rest of the NFC East on the home of the Cowboys next.